Welcome to season two.
Welcome to Worship with Isaiah and Friends.
So, welcome back, guys. Welcome to Worship with Isaiah and Friends, season two, episode four. I'm super excited for this conversation. It's been a long time coming. This particular guest, we've had this plan for some time, but I think one thing I've realized about God is that God is so intentional about the timings that He makes things happen. And I think this is the perfect time for us to sit down and finally have this conversation. I'm here with someone who has taken a lot of people by surprise by what God is doing through his life. He's emerged and really come out of such a space of worship where we see people with the big names or with the loud shouts, and he's such a gentle but mighty man, and I'm super excited to have this conversation with you, brother. So yeah, just tell them who you are and tell them a bit about you.
My name is Abraham Oshin. I was going to say my age, but anyway, I'm 24 years old. I am from East London. I always say this, that I'm just a kid from East London who God has chose to use. I lead worship at Ark 2.0. Big up my family. And I've been leading worship now since I was like, I want to say 15. Yeah, 15 years old, from my mum's church, small but mighty church. Then moved on to then join the Ark family, which helped me progress in my worship in a way that I do express myself, in a way that the Lord does use me. So yeah, I've had years and years and years of being in the worship space, but to actually see myself being expressed has only come in my 20s. So these past 4 years have I really just found myself actually doing what God has called me to do. So yeah
amazing. We've seen a lot of your stuff with Ark. We've seen your personal ministry. And it's super exciting. Like, we were even watching on the way over here, we were watching the video you posted from, I believe it was from the conference.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, man. Like, you can see what God is doing. You can see the heart for worship that you have. It's amazing. You guys are doing an amazing thing over there at Ark as well. We always hear good things. So we bless God for Ark 2.0 and the leadership over there as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, let's go straight into it. Let's talk about your first ever worship experience that you can recall.
My first ever worship experience that I can recall is probably Campus Fellowship. This is where I went to uni in University of Kent, but I was on a Medway campus, and I was part of a a campus fellowship called Salem, which is part of a bigger church called Salem International. They have these campus fellowships in different campuses. They have one in Canterbury and in Medway. Medway one only started a year, so the year prior, before we got there, the first time I was there, I was nervous as heck. This was like my first real time where I was leading worship outside of like the comfort of being in my church. Because, you know, there's a difference. Yeah. Like, when you're leading your church, you know the aunties, you know the uncles. It can be nerve-wracking, but you can still feel relatable amongst them because you're like, I've seen them, I can copy as much. This is the time where I'm fresh. It's young people. I don't really know if they're going to respect the receptor to me. I'm a very harsh critic on myself, especially with my voice. Obviously, I'm not the best singer, but it always flows out of a place of passion with me. Yeah. So when I got to the time where I was told, oh, you're going to lead, I was like, okay, my heart's beating quite a bit. This kind of can be quite hard. But as soon as I stepped on the altar, it's like everything else, like the song says, all the names faded away. And it was only him that remained that allowed me to like usher him into the room. Mm. I always say that the way that I found myself worshipping is that I always usher him in. I recognize when he's in the room. And I think that's where I find my comfort. That's where I find my niche, where I'm able to be like, okay, he's in the room. Let's honor him. So that's where I was like, if I try to force anything outside of that, I'm going to flop.
Yeah.
My voice is going to crack, or people are just not going to be receptive. It's going to come as a performance, rather it being pure worship. And I think the scripture where it speaks about worship in spirit and in truth, I'm sure someone's brought it up in these past podcasts, but the spirit and the truth aspect of it is really important when it comes to the truth. You as a human being needs to allow yourself to, that's where I found myself understanding that truth needs to come and then spirit follows, in a sense that I need to be true to myself as I lead these people, knowing that I'm honoring the God that we're going to worship right now in my own personal life.
Mm.
So that's truth being displayed. Then the spirit is now able to come out of that truth without all the fakeness, without all the performance, and he's able to do what he needs to do in the room. Mm. I'm only a facilitator. He comes to do what he needs to do in the room. So in the very first worship experience, I had to deal with myself, and it was nerve-wracking. It was a lot of thinking. I did mess up in some points. There were some points where I was really critical of myself. Like I said, I'm very harsh on myself, but the way that God worked through me, I was shocked, because I was like, rah, I'm only a kid from East London, like, stuff like this don't really happen. Like, it doesn't really make sense that God is using me in this way. And even then, my knowledge then was so limited, but the small revelation that I had, God was able to maximize it in the room, to the point people came up to me and said, I needed to hear that, or there was something that I was planning to do, but because I heard you worship, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Mm.
So all of those testimonies come through, not for me. Again, I decrease so he can increase.
Yeah.
I don't allow myself to be the focal point. It's the glorification of Jesus that needs to be on a focal point, needs to be center stage. So when people come up to me and say these things, I'm like, that's an opening room for me to go deeper. Deliverance can now take place, or deeper conversations, discipleship can take place, because
yeah,
then I can plug you in. And you don't have to come to, I always say, you don't have to come to our fellowship, but please find somewhere where you're connected to him. So yeah, my first worship experience was very much nerve-wracking, very much hard, but it was freeing at the same time.
Yeah.
And it was very much a learning experience.
Yeah, yeah, I feel you on that one. I feel you, especially on the part where you touched about you not feeling like you have the best voice or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think one thing I've noticed on my journey is that, or what, like, to be honest, what a lot of people have said is that it's not about us having the best voices. Mm. It's about us as a vessel being willing. Yeah. I mean, you can be the best singer.
Yeah.
But if the spirit is not working through you, then it's a performance, honestly, like you said. And I think us having, let's say us having all right voices, mm-hmm, but our heart posture towards the space, mm-hmm, is, it trumps all of those things, yeah, at the end of the day. But it's super, super important for us to recognize that the voice is needed, yes, yeah, but the spirit takes precedent over the voice.
100%.
Because God will speak through us anyway.
Exactly.
As long as you're willing and listening and hearing him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's deeper, man. It's, yeah, deeper. But I think something we kind of spoke on in previous episodes is also being excellent in everything that we do.
100%.
The same way you said you've just come from a rehearsal,
yeah,
or something like that. It's the same way you train your voice up. 100%. You train these things, you practice, you go over it, you practice your harmonies, yeah, you do your runs, you, yeah, do everything.
Yeah.
Because we want to be excellent in everything that we do.
Absolutely.
You know, so at the end of the day, it's about us being willing to do what God wants to do. If it makes sense to God, it makes sense to me. Yeah. That's one thing Pastor F was said, mm-hmm, during one of her teachings. She says, if it makes sense to God, it makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, I'm going to have to push. I'm going to have to practice. I'm, yeah, going to have to sacrifice that time.
For real.
Just
for real.
To be excellent in everything, yeah, I do, because it's not for me, but it's for God.
Yes.
I want to be a vessel that is excellent towards God,
mm-hmm,
you know? So yeah, yeah, it's what we know and what we recognize. So it's great to hear. But I think just off the back of that, you mentioned the spirit and in truth. So for me, my next question will be is, what does worshiping in spirit and in truth look like to you?
For me, I think I've lived a life where I've had to hide certain things. So there's certain things I've had to keep hidden. There's certain things where I haven't been able to express. So I truly have gotten to a point where in I feel like there's, not even I feel like, I know there's power in revelation. So the revelation part of it for me, with the truth part of spirit and in truth, was that my life has to be honest to God.
Mm.
In that sense of, so I'll give the backstory. I grew up with my mom, who recently passed on the 4th of January of 2024. She was dealing with kidney failure from my age, I was 10, so for 14 years. and she was on the dialysis machine for a while. People would look at her for many years and see nothing was wrong with her. And within that aspect, my mum will always say, don't tell people what we're going through. Let's just keep it in within the family. Within those years, when I was seven, my little sister was born. She's born with cerebral palsy, and which means she can't talk and she's wheelchair bound. So with all of that, we wouldn't discuss times where like they'll be on life support in the hospital. I wouldn't be able to say all of these things to different people because, or to the people around me, because I've been It's like I've been indoctrinated to be like, keep what's going on at home at home.
Yeah.
Make sure that you keep things hidden. So these I've now developed a nature where I'm hiding things, and even to God at a young age, I'm not able to express these things to him because I've got the voice in my head of don't say too much, don't do too much. So there's an element of lies that come into play, because you will ask people, ask, how's your mum, how's your sister? They're not here today at church. I can't say they're on the hospital because XYZ, because my mum has said don't say so. So then there's a lie coming into place where I'm like, oh, everything's fine. No, everything's not fine. So then there's a truth aspect that has been beaten out of me psychologically. So the spirit, where it comes to, now the spirit is being stifled because I'm not being honest with him. So then as I was getting into this worship thing and whatnot, I was being pushed into these different spaces and different atmospheres where I had to be honest or I'll be tormented in the evening.
Yeah.
Meaning if I'm not honest with how I am right, how I'm feeling right now, or if I'm not honest with God, I'm not honest with my emotions to him or how I feel in this moment or in this time, I'm not going to be able to fully express myself on the altar. He's not going to be able to fully use me. And then the enemy now has room to now cause confusion, to build up more lies within my life, to then separate me from him. Then it becomes harder when I now go home and I'm looking for how to write a set or to come up with, oh, what song will go for this. It's hard for me because the voices in my head are too loud because I've left open for a room for the truth to be stifled. So now I've had to go into a whole journey. I've had to go on this whole journey where I've surrendered myself to him in a sense of, God, in those times I was not happy with you. In those times I was angry. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know why. And that was me having to say the truth. It got to the point where I couldn't even say I love you to certain people. My friends will know, if you guys watch this, saying I love you to them was such a hard thing to say to them. Even though I felt it, it was like I couldn't say this thing because the emotion aspects of myself I've been hiding from God. And because I haven't been real with him and saying, God, I love you, I'm not able to now express that. I'm not able to do it with my first love. How am I able to do it with relationships I built outside of that? Like it was a journey of learning truth, and truth is love. So I had to, the reason why I brought up the love aspects of things, because I had to know his love once again. And I had to then go into a space where I said, God, I love you. Not because of what you can do for me, but because you are God. I love you because you are Jehovah. I love you because you are Rapha. I love you because you are Yahweh. And that's the basis of everything. Then outside of that, once I said I loved him, my worship shifted in a sense that the truth, and now allow the spirit to find more expression in me. So things that I didn't realize that I could do, in a sense of declaring things in the atmosphere and them begin to happen. Never knew that could happen through me. Or miracles, like I'm saying, I'm hearing someone right now dealing with this thing right now. You're like, there's suicide on your mind right now. I break that off you right now in a midst of worship. Never knew these things could ever come out. But because I've been in a place where I've stifled my truth, somebody's testimony could be stifled because I wasn't allowing the truth to come out. Because I've snuffed out that truth aspect of thing and I've allowed the spirit to move, there's somebody who was about to do something. In my head, I'm imagining, if I didn't go through this process, what would have happened to that person?
Yeah.
Or all the lives that I'm connected to? Because in this ministration of worship, people don't realize that your depth of who you are, all the life that you live, when you release it on the altar, there's someone in the back, in a corner, in the room, that is receiving from the Holy Spirit in that time to say, don't do that, or step away from that, or I remove this off you right now. All these things that have been covering you and hovering over your life, they're like flies over your brain. The sounds of worship, when I'm reminded of what David did for Samuel, or was it Saul? What David did for the king, basically, in that time where he was tormented, he played his harp so skillfully, again, like we were talking about excellence, so skillfully, that each time he played, he was alleviated from this feeling and these emotions and this mental torment. These are things that I realized that I could do for people, that God could do through me. I was a mere instrument in his hand, but the truth aspect of it was being stifled. And until I stepped into the truth of, I love this God that I sing about, because I was singing about him and not loving him.
Mm.
And that was a truth that I couldn't live anymore. I had to live a truth of, I sing about you and I love you. And once I stepped into that truth, the Holy Spirit, the way he just opened me up to be used by me, like I could, it was like a tap that could never like be turned off.
Mm.
It was a flowing river. I was getting fresh revelations. I was getting fresh songs, singing in the spirit, things that I never knew that I could do. Like last, well, time, whenever this is released, but the Sunday just gone, during this time, my pastor was just like, April, I'm just singing a new song over everyone. I literally did not know what I was going to hear, what I was going to say, but all I heard was a new thing is happening. That scripture that says in Isaiah 48, where it says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. I just heard that over and over in my head.
Mm.
And as soon as I literally just opened up my mouth and a song, a whole song came out, to the point that we had Anthony Brown from Jubilee Worship was there. He came up to me and was like, how the heck did you do that? And I was like, I'm not going to lie to you, I don't know myself. I genuinely, I'm in awe of what God can do through people. So
yeah.
To run it back to the question, the truth aspects of things, I feel like it's such a basis for us human beings to, do you really love this God you're calling
mm-hmm.
on? Do you really believe in what you're saying right now? Because I don't think, until you get that truth aspect of things, I don't think the spirit can move. Because the spirit waits for you to be honest. Because again, God looks on the inward appearance. He doesn't look on the outward.
Yeah.
So if the scriptures are telling me that he looks on what's on here, in here, that means when I'm releasing my sound, whatever's going on in here has to be right, rather than what appears to be right.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So, I believe the truth aspect of it is releasing your truth, being true to God with where you are, who you are, and how much you are in him. Then the spirit then follows on. But that whole spirit aspect of things, a whole nother direction, where it can take you on a journey in a spirit where you're seeing different avenues and different wells of worship being poured out. Like there's worships of thanksgiving, there's worship of warfare, these different things. But I believe that before you get to that point, the truth has to be remained that he is God in your life. But
man, that's really good, bro. That's really good. And I just want to touch on something you mentioned just briefly about your mum, if that's okay.
That's fine, yeah.
So one thing I noticed is when you posted that your mum had passed away, mm-hmm. You posted two clips. So you posted a photo of your mum, mm-hmm. and then you posted a clip from service that Sunday.
Yep.
And a lot of people would look at that and be like, rah.
Yeah.
Someone just lost their mother, and they're leading worship on a Sunday, mm-hmm. at church.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my question to you is, how did you deal with grieving the loss of your mother and still remain in a place of worship?
Mm.
Because it's to someone that's not really on this thing, they're gonna look at that and be like, rah, like, does my man not love his
saying?
So how did you deal with grieving, or even if you are still grieving, how did you deal with that and still continue to stand up on the altar and give God praise each and every Sunday?
It's a loaded question, but I think I was expecting a question. I think so with the whole timeline, my mum was in our hospital from the month of, like, I think it was August up to the moment she passed. So she was getting, her body was deteriorating quite a bit. So with kidney failure, you need a new kidney because both of your kidneys are failed. So you're on a dialysis machine, does the job of the kidney, you know, blood transfusion, all those different things. And she got to the point where she was now, before she was offered a kidney, but she said she rejected it because she knew somebody that was, when she goes on dialysis, it's like a room of people in there as well. She knew someone that did receive a kidney, his body rejected it. So she was put in a place of fear where she was like, okay, I think I could just live on dialysis. That's all I'm going to do. But for 14 years, it's not like the best. Like, you're supposed to look for a kidney during that time.
Yeah.
So it was getting early on. She was on heavier medication to the point that she developed dementia. And during that time, the household was very, very tough because it was a flipped role where my mum was looking after me. I now had to look after her heavily. Yeah. So it was an aspect where she would forget who I am.
Mm-hmm.
She would forget who my sister is. She would do strange acts. Things like this in a house where the house will never be like calm. There will always be something wrong. And to the point that I had to be locking the front door in just to make sure that if she doesn't open the door and run out and we've gone missing, which she had done a couple of times. So in that house, I was never like, my mind was never straight.
Yeah.
And in that, I can't lie to you, my relationship with God did dip. Only because I was so frustrated with what was going on that I forgot that I had a father that I could run to.
Mm.
Time, like, life can really deal with you to the point where you forget who you are. And life can really deal with you, where you can forget who God is. And I believe that's what the enemy definitely pushes more. I'm not blaming the enemy to say that my mom's situation was the enemy's fault. What I'm saying is that the enemy therefore enhanced the situation in my mind to make me forget whose I am and who I am.
Yeah.
So then in that process, she was in hospital now. I was going to visit her and whatnot. She started refusing treatment. And I believe it was heavily linked to her mental state, because she had a stroke, which then caused her to kind of slow down a little bit more. So she said that she was supposed to do dialysis 3 times a week. She said she don't want to do it 3 times a week anymore. She wants to do it once. They're advising me, the doctors, the nurses are saying, please get her back to 3 times a week. She's not going to survive if she just does one. I'm saying, I'm fighting. We're going back. There's arguments. I'm getting angry at her because I'm like, I still need you around. Like, please go back to 3 times a week. She's saying no. She's saying no. And then it got to the point where she was just refusing treatment completely. And it got to the time where I was just like, I don't know how you expect me to go on. Like, I'm only, okay, like, during the time, I was only 23. And I had a 16-year-old sister who can't walk, can't talk. And it's going to be, I don't have a father in my life. I don't know my dad like that. And so I'm going to have to be responsible for her.
Yeah.
At a time, I'm like money is a tight thing as well. I don't know how I'm going to do all of this. So I'm begging her, please just keep going, go going. And this whole time, by the way, I'm not seeking God. I'm just going and just, you know, going to sleep, waking up, not even reading my word, going to visit her, just sit with her, whatnot. Sitting with her, whatnot. It then gets to the time of New Year's. Around that time, during New Year's, I saw her, she was fine, she was responsive. Then it got to New Year's Day. I got a call from the hospital saying that she come in, came in, and she was like, she was lifeless. She was breathing heavily, but struggling to breathe. And I was taken into a room, and they basically told me that they don't see her living past the next 3 days. And when I heard that news, things with me, I don't like crying. I don't like sad emotions, because I always say my life is hard enough. I always love to I love to laugh and joke, banter as much as I can. So when I heard that news, in me, I was with one of my mom's friends. She was with me, and I was in that room, and it was a really small room. I was just like, I really want to react right now, but something in me is not allowing me to react. Then it was silent for the room for like a good minute. Then the doctor literally said, I asked the doctor, is there anything that we could do from this point? And his answer was no. And I think when I heard that no, it was so final in my head that I just thought I broke down. Times that, like, it was like years of not crying, years of not dealing with emotions that I dealt with in that time, in that instant where I just cried and cried and cried. And I remember leaving the hospital and calling up all her sisters, calling up everyone and just being like, yo, because she has sisters in Canada and Nigeria. So I was like, okay, like, we need to do something. We need to sort something out, like, right now. Like, I don't know what's going on. I'm trying to tell them all of these things. They're reacting. If you know about European people, they can be very traumatic.
Yeah.
So I'm dealing with my own emotions, but I'm dealing with my auntie's emotions. Just, yeah, what's going on? Da, 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 da. What do you mean? Da, 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 da. And they obviously haven't heard. Like, we've kept things to ourselves, so they don't know how bad things have got. Like, they know she's got kidney failure, but they didn't realise it's gotten to this point where she's going to pass. So the reality of it all came. I'm still denying in my head that, no, she's going to live. She's going to live. She's going to live. Then I went to sleep that night and I woke up. This is now the third of January. I woke up. I said, I'm running straight to the hospital. I'm going there. Something in me just said, Abram, just prepare yourself. Just prepare yourself. Abram, just prepare yourself. I got to the hospital. Was there with her the whole day. My little sister has 24-hour care, but it was a new carer that was at home. So I was always wary to make sure that I'm there. So the third, I left in the evening just to make sure that my sister was okay. I said, let me just take a nap. Once I take a nap, because they said I could be there for 25 hours. It don't matter. Coming in the evening, whatever. I said, okay, cool. I'm just going to take a nap and I'm going to go. Took a nap. 12:40, I woke up in the morning. 3 missed calls. I said, all right, I know what this is. got the call the hospital back. They said, yeah, we tried to call you many times, but she's passed. So I said, okay, cool. I didn't really have time to react. I said, they said, are you going to come now? Are you going to come in the morning? I said, I'm coming now. Got there, got to the hospital, and literally as I entered the room, I saw her body there. I was left alone in the room, in the, yeah, I was left alone in the room, and I just saw her body there. As soon as I just looked over her, the Holy Spirit just sang over me, the Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. And I was like, why that song? I don't get it. Why is that song over me right now? But Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here is a reminder of the scripture where it tells me that even though as Jesus has gone, he says that he will send someone who the angel said to them as the disciples were crying and mourning, he said, the same Jesus you saw go is the same Jesus who will return the exact same way.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit was just reminding me that I'm here with you and you have to be glad that I'm here. And I don't know why, but a sense of gladness and a sense of peace just came over me in that very moment as I sang it in that room. And I remember singing it in the room and I'm thinking, these people are going to think I'm mad. But I was bellowing that song, Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. And I remember just saying to myself, like, Abraham, this is mad. You can't be saying this right now. Like, it wasn't just us in the room as well. There was other patients in the room. And I was thinking, my mom's laid dead here and there's other people here. They don't know what's going on. But I'm singing Holy Ghost, I'm so glad you are here. And that song just became deeper for me because it became one of my songs of the season. Became one of the songs that I held on to dearly. And I just said, God, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, I'm glad you are here. So the Sunday now, the 7th, I actually went to church to run away from people because a lot of people were coming to visit me, as you can imagine. But it became a bit overwhelming, the magnitude of people that came to visit me and to give me their condolences, because my mom was loved by many, 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 many people. But I was just a bit like, I'm an introvert when it comes to like faces and stuff, and I haven't seen in a while. So I like to revert to my room and just, you know, stay there. But people obviously came to see me. It was a bit too much. So I said, you know what? I'm going to church on Sunday. I went to church. I wasn't leading that day, actually. So my one of the other worship leaders I was leading, they were leading, and I just felt the talking of the Holy Spirit saying, you're going to go up there. And I remember saying to the Holy Spirit, I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going up there. He's like, no, you're going up there. And I said, okay, right, cool. And the thing is, the voice of the Holy Spirit with me is very authoritative. Like, if I don't do it, I feel the shakes, I feel the shivers. And I was feeling that moment because I was resisting. But I remember whispering into my ear, to hear the worship, and I was like, I'm coming up, I'm going up. And I remember one of my boys, shout out to Powell, he was praying for me. And he prayed for me, but he didn't realize that I was going to go up. And then he saw me just step on the altar and he was like, wait, what? And I think nobody knew in the room, only certain people knew. I was able to share my testimony of what happened. And it was a strange testimony. My mother has passed away, but I'm still here worshiping. The reason why I did that is because I remember saying to God that I don't want this scenario to be something that Abraham's mom just passed and went. I want it to be something that people can look back on and say, but God.
Yeah.
And I led, and one of the songs I led was, people know me for right now, especially in 2.0, is Kadosh, and by Joe Metal. People, they don't realize that I sing it a lot, but the reason why I'm singing it, one, it's over our house in 2.0. That song is definitely over our house, but it's also over me specifically because I feel like that song just returns you back to being a child in his presence. Where you're screaming and you're just saying, ah, people don't, like, you're not saying words, but that sound alone, you're releasing yourself in his presence. Just say, let me go crazy right now. I felt like Miriam when she was tapping her time, like when she was declaring the horse and the rider, like you don't, even David when he was dancing, when he was naked, undignified, you just feel like nothing's holding you back. I can just be with him. And God was reminding me because in that moment, the same way that I feel this is the same way my mom feels in heaven. She's not remembering her pain. There's no more crying. There's no more suffering. She's free and she's dancing in my presence. She's all, and I wasn't able to see her, but people were telling me they saw her in a vision of just being in all white and saying, I'm okay. Wow. And she's gone. And I said, if that's all that there is, and that very day, someone came up to me and said, listen, literally what you did right there was like a miracle before my eyes. And I said, that's what I wanted. I wanted my mom's story to be a miracle before people. She was the strongest woman that I could ever, 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 like, ever meet. Like, she just did things that I didn't believe. She provided for me. I'm the man I am today, not only because of God. And it's something I said on a post. I said, yes, I'm God's son, but I'm also the son of Florence Olajanlu. As much as I am God's son, I'm also living on a legacy of that woman who then went on to show that despite what I'm going through, I will still worship him.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe the Holy Spirit put me on the altar and said, despite what you're going through, the legacy still continues. Yeah. That despite what she went through, she's going to worship him. Despite what I'm going through, I'm going to worship him. And through all of this stuff, there's been blessings and blessings. Obviously, there's things that are going on that we've spoken about, as opportunities that are coming my way. And I've been dumbfounded. I've just been like, what? Like, this is crazy to me. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. And like I said, I'm just a kid from East London. This stuff happening to me is ridiculous. So I'm just grateful. And I always find myself at his feet. And one thing always everybody says, just make sure you remain humble. All the people that are my leaders, all the people that I look up to and people who counsel me, they just say, just make sure you're humble, because there's great things coming ahead. And I always used to hear that. I never saw how.
Yeah.
But the great things are now coming on the horizon, and I'm starting to see it little by little. And even in that, I'm just like, God, how can I make you more the focal point? How can I push you more? How can I make you more the face of it? Because at the end of the day, this thing has happened to me. And I'm telling you now, loss, especially a loss of a parent, you're never the same afterwards. It shapes you in a weird way. And I think there's two ways it can shape you. It can shape you in a negative way where you push everybody away. But it can also shape you in a way that lets you know that the creation, the creator that created you, is still on you. His hand is still upon you. And running from that revelation and running away from that thing like Jonah and trying to hide yourself away from things, it doesn't work when you need to do this week in, week out. Because I could have gave up on this worship thing.
Yeah.
I could have said, hey, I'm not doing this anymore. Like, I don't believe what I'm doing. But the way that God will show himself in moments where you need him,
yeah,
the comforter, he's been my comfort this past season. And yeah, he's comforted me in so many ways. So yeah, the way that I'm able to worship through it all is by his strength and him alone. Yeah. I think I'm only able to, I just have to lean on him. Yeah. I can't do anything other than just lean on him and lean on his understanding. Because again, all these, I always say that after the death, all these little scriptures, little things that we say to each other became way more real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, leaning not on your own understanding became way real.
Yeah.
Like, worshiping in spirit and truth became real. So life becomes real when real things happen. But it's also when the real things happen, that's when you're tested. Because then, do you truly worship this God despite what's happening around you? And yeah, so I just thank God that I'm able to still be here and still love him. Because me making that decision has been the best decision I've ever made in my life. Because I'm enjoying him right now. And I think I'll continue to enjoy him when I have my children. Obviously, there's going to be moments where, like, sadness and moments come where I'm getting married or I'm having children. I'm able to do things that I wanted to do for my mom. But the fact that she's with her father right now, that's the best gift that she could have.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird to say death is a gift, but it is a gift in a certain way. Because you don't have to be tormented in this world. I can't lie, this world is, there's a lot going on right now. This world is very, who wouldn't want to be with their father? But yeah, I'm just glad that she's there. She's dancing in his presence. And I've always said I promise to continue the legacy of worshipping through pain, no matter what.
Wow. God bless you, bro. Thank Honestly, you so much. God bless you, man. You're a testament of God's grace and God's so covering. What you've experienced, like you said, would have taken people out.
Mm-hmm.
But God literally sang over you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also a testament of your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Because despite the difficulties that you were dealing with, yes, you might not have prayed enough.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have studied the word enough. You might not have spoken to God enough. But he still met you where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I've been learning a lot about recently is the fact that God never leaves us.
Yeah.
Even in our sin, even in our disobedience, even in our nonsense, the agapao love, that's what we call it.
Yeah.
You know, it's he's there even when we've sinned or when we've been disobedient, but his love trumps all of those things, 100%. You know, and even despite your difficult situation, God was like, I'm still here.
Yeah, literally.
I'm still here. Even in the passing on of your mother, he was in that room with you.
Yeah.
He was with you both in that very moment, and he comforted you because he is our comforter. No one else can comfort you more than him.
Yeah.
You know, he covered you, he loved on you, he showed you everything that he is, and he brought you into a space where you can use this story to turn the lives and of those that have experienced what you've experienced about, you know. And I think this is why I really wanted us to kind of have this discourse about this, your testimony, because I know people listening to this might have gone through something that you've gone through, and they may have stepped away from the faith, or they may have veered away from God, but I do believe that God is just reminding people to come back and just continue to let him love them. You know, let me love you. That's how I feel. Like everything you've said is like, let me love you.
Literally.
Sit at his feet and thank him, even in the good and the bad. Thank him in the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Despite the difficulties, despite the struggles you've had for however many years. Yeah. But God is still God.
100%.
God is still God, and he's the one that can turn these things around, you know. Yeah, man. Honestly, God bless you, bro.
Thank you so much.
for your transparency and being able to share that, because it's not an easy thing to share. You know, so you are loved by God, man.
Thank you.
You are loved. You are loved. Thank honestly you. He loves you.
Yeah.
And it's everything that's happened in the last few months in your life, you can see there's a story to tell.
Yeah.
From January to now, there's a story to tell. And like you said, there's things happening behind the scenes that not a lot of people know about. Yeah. But that's God is very strategic and meticulous. Literally. You know, just because you've lost a parent doesn't mean you've lost your father, your heavenly father.
Yeah.
God is always gonna fill the void where something is gone.
Literally.
You know? And he's like he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah.
He's been with you from day one till now.
Yeah.
And in the age to come, he will still remain with you. Yeah. So long as you are, not even so long as he will remain with you.
Yeah.
You just have to remain diligent. You have to remain in love with him.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that we have to constantly remind ourselves.
Yeah.
Fall deeply in love with Jesus, you know, and everything else flows from there.
Exactly.
You know, but and I've noticed you mentioned the word expression a lot.
Yeah.
And I wanted us to talk about expressions of worship. Yeah. I know you did an event, was it last year?
I think it's the year before.
And I know you've had that movement for a minute.
Yeah.
Talk to me, how did that come about, and
what
does that look like for you in the next year or two? What's on the horizon, if there is anything moving or shaking?
Yeah, so expression of worship came around when in a place of prayer. So I was in a deep place of prayer, and I remember I was feeling a yearning for God's people to understand the expressions of place, like times of worship, which isn't just singing songs unto him, but the expression of prophesying, the expression of evangelism, the gifts of the Spirit. These things are spoken about in the Word of God, where it talks about words of knowledge, all of these different things that are being told. Expression of worship is all of that. So I believe that all of these giftings are expression of worship towards him. And the reason why I got that revelation was that God was telling me that there's people who are running away from the giftings of him.
Cool.
Where certain giftings are being expressed, certain giftings are being shown, but he's saying all of it is an expression of worship to him. Like, not one gift is above the other.
Yeah.
No one should desire one gift above the other. Each gift is freely given. And whatever your gift is, whatever it is within you, that is laying within you, God is giving you, he wants you to express. So I wanted to create a space where people aren't, like, stifled in what they have on the inside of them. Just because they can't prophesy doesn't mean you don't have the gift of evangelism. So that doesn't mean that your gift is any lower than that person who's able to prophesy someone's foresight, hindsight, and current state. Just because they're able to do that so articulately and do that so in a way that's so beautiful, or in a way that's not even beautiful, in a way that's so structured and it looks good and it sounds good, doesn't mean that you should now hate your gift any less. Your gift of speaking in tongues shouldn't be exalted over above someone who's able to, who has the gift of giving, who's able to fund something here and there. So I wanted to be able to create a space where people learn about their giftings, number one. And number two, develop in their giftings. And number three, find expression in their giftings. So I wanted to be able to invite people in and go through these different expressions of the gift of the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us, and find your space, find where you find it, where God has used you or God has placed on the inside of you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and be able to express that. So my first expression always for me is worship. So I wanted to open up with that. And where God is leading me with this ministry, obviously it was like 2 years ago that I went on, but during the time there was a lot of issues with my mom that came into place that stopped and held a lot of things back. But the thing is, God is so faithful in reminding you of the things, the assignments that he's giving you. So he gave me an assignment and I said, God, don't worry. And the thing that the Holy Spirit then said that he wanted to now push going forward was that he wanted there to be encounters.
Okay.
And there's something so powerful about encounters. Like, people can debate theology, people can debate Jesus, can debate what he said, what he did, and all that stuff and stuff. But once you meet him, there's no question about it. Once you have met this God we are talking about, you within yourself will be like, I cannot deny that he's real.
Yeah.
So what God wants to do going forward with the special expression of worship is create a space where people are encountering him. And I'm not just saying encountering him where I'm prophesying over you and I'm like, yeah, this is you encountering him. No, no, no. You have your personal experience with him where you're taken up into a space where it's like, John, you don't even know if you're on earth or you're in the heavens. And it's raptured you in a space where God has shown himself so strong in your life that you can't question him again.
Yeah.
So going forward, he's calling those who have questioned him. He's calling those who have had thoughts about him, but thought, I'm not too sure about this God. He's calling them back to come and experience him. Then from there, he will then give you assignment for going forward. Cool. So there will be these nights called encounter nights where I don't know what it's going to look like just yet. It's coming real soon, but okay, we're just going with what God wants to do.
Yeah.
So yeah.
For sure, bro. That's exciting, man. That's exciting. I think it's good to be reminded of the things that God has called us into. And like you said, God is gracious for reminding us about the callings.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes we tend to forget.
Yeah.
We tend to go another way. Like, this is like with me, like, bro, this whole pod, this ministry, like, bro, I've been doing this for a minute.
Yeah.
Took a bit of a break but God was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get it cracking. There's people that need to hear what people have to say.
Literally.
People need to hear about worship.
Yeah.
And I've given you the platform to do that. So make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, and like at the end of the day, it's an obedience thing now.
Yeah.
We have to be obedient in what he tells us to do. Mm-hmm. Even if it hurts.
Yes.
We still have to do it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, yeah, we thank God, man. I'm excited for you, bro. I'm super excited. I'm locked in.
Yeah.
So, just let me know. Let me know when you're planning these things. And I'm there, man. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, just something lighthearted now.
Yeah.
Just to kind of touch on a few different things in terms of, like, the musical aspect. Yeah. So, one thing I like to do with people is, like, it's a bit of, like, a this or that type of thing. This time it's a bit more of an artist thing. So,
okay.
When it comes to your music, when you listen, what you listen to, what is one group that you kind of like? You go to like a
go to group
in terms of music.
In terms of music, a go to group.
Like, what's the first name that comes to mind when you think of? Oh yeah, this is my favorite worship group. Right. Or like my favourite worship ministry, like a Mav or a House Fires or like a Walls group or like a Bethel type of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to sound so... It's my CR family, I won't lie to you.
Cool.
Those guys are very oily. Whenever I need to get into a certain space or I just need to seek him, which is all the time when I'm just like wanting to see. They have so much plethora of music and a catalogue. I think people need to take them in because they've got... Like times where you want to be crazy, there's times where you just want to be somber, there's times where you want to travel and travel, there's times where you want to just be sober. Yeah, I go see our Campus Rush. Yeah.
So you know that African worship is booming right now. Nigeria is a hot topic.
Yeah.
what is, who's one artist that you kind of be like, yeah, that's my guy, or that's my sis, or who's someone that's that does it for you right now?
Does it for me right now, because I'm on this whole journey of songwriting. Don't see your year comes pen game, I feel like is elite, and I think he doesn't just, I feel like he can transcend from the African Nigerian scene into CCM if he wanted to.
Cool.
I feel like he's able to, and I'm more drawn to people that are more like all rounders.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely him. Yeah.
Cool. And finally, what would you say the song of your current season is?
Song of my current season right now is Emperor of the Universe.
Cool.
I just ministered that at a conference, but I feel like it's reminding me of who he is.
Yeah.
And I think there's something over those melodies, and I think Dunson said something, Minister Dunson said something over the song when he said, when he wrote it, it came from a place of prayer. So when it comes, it invokes the spirit of prayer in the room, invokes the unction of prayer. So I'm a prayerful man, so whenever I hear that sound, not only does it like soothe my soul, but it does something to me where it's like, I need to start tackling some things right now. But yeah. Emperor of the Universe, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I hear that. It's a heavy one. It's a great one. Cool. So I think just to drive it home, my final question for you is, what is one piece of advice you will give to someone who wants to, who knows they've been called to be a worship leader, and they're struggling to navigate this time of their lives? Like, what's one piece of advice you would give them as a result of your experiences as a worship leader?
One advice I would give is plug yourself into a community. Definitely find like-minded people. So people who are around the same area as you. So if you're interested in it, there's nothing wrong with going to your local church. There's nothing wrong with plugging yourself in your local community church-wise and just saying, I would love to shadow the worship team right now. You don't necessarily have to commit yourself to being a part of the worship team, but just being around it. So going to rehearsals, seeing how these guys function, being around the worship culture. And also, I'm someone like that says this. People are like, they're a little bit in with this, but I say go to events. Go to worship events. Go to events that you see are going on, and basically just plug yourself in so you're able to be around the atmosphere a little bit more. So then when it's time for God to be like, I need you to do this now, you already have like a catalog and a backlog of being in his presence in those times, or being in his presence in those type of atmospheres. So then you know, going into a time of like joining your church and finally joining the worship team, you're able to be in that space and be like, I've been on this type of atmosphere before, and now I'm able to now fashion my skill. So the Bible says that with there were Levites who were literally dedicated to just music, dedicated to just being singing minstrels. And it said that they played skillfully and sang skillfully. So when you now confirm yourself in, this is what I want to do, learn yourself and your craft and get better at it. But one other advice I would also give is, when you're unsure, always make sure that you're in a place of prayer to kind of know where you're meant to be. Because if it's not birthed in a place of prayer, I'd say you're going to find it hard to stay where you are. Because I've seen so many people say they're meant for this worship thing, go into the worship thing, realize how hard it is, and then back right out. When you have that building block or that foundation of prayer of saying, this is what God has called me to do, I'm able to always revert back to that.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain things that I'm doing right now where these are big, big decisions that I'm making. And funny enough, as I'm making this decision, there's things that are also coming on around it that's making me feel like maybe I should stay and do this thing, or moving on is something that will be too risky. But if I do choose to move on, I'm always able to revert back to what God has said over me, because I've been in a place of prayer and I've tackled it and I've been like, God, is this really what you want me to do?
Yeah.
And once I've heard that yes, I'm able to hold on to that yes and keep going, because God will give you a final yes. His yes is final. It's never a question, and we don't serve a God of confusion.
Yeah.
So when his yes is yes and his no is no, it's clear and it's blatant and you would know. So if you're stepping into this space, I'll say stay prayed up. Find yourself in a community. find yourself leadership, mentorship within this specific space. I'm a firm believer that you can have mentors in different space, business, worship, pastoring, or different avenues that you see yourself going into. You can have multiple voices over you, but make sure that, especially within this worship thing, find someone that will counsel you over this. Not only lead you, but counsel you. Because counseling you in this worship thing is important, because I would say when you're on an altar, you feel a lot. And the first time that I felt depression in the room, I've never been depressed in my life, but the first time I felt depression in the room, I was like, I don't know what to do with this emotion. But I was luckily able to be under someone. I was able to be like, I just felt this thing of depression. How do I deal with it? They said X, Y, Z, and I was able to go on the forward. So if you're looking to get into this, please also take your time. Don't rush into anything. Don't feel like you need to be doing what these artists are doing and stuff like that. I'm telling you this right now. I may have started off young, and I am still young, but it's a different journey that people go on. Different things, like you might start in your 20s, you might start in your 30s, but whatever stage that you, even in your 40s, whatever stage you start at, be grateful for where you are and move within where you are. Don't try and force to accelerate something that doesn't need to be accelerated. Like, we look at these great ministers of God, Dunson, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey, Pastor Victoria Renzi. These lot are older, but right now they're doing what God has called them to do, and I feel like their voice is being bellowed out now. Thinking about how long they've been doing it, because they've been doing this for years, but it's only now that God has now shined a light on them to do what they need to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
So time, listen, it's God's time, it's not our time.
Yeah.
So yeah, plug yourself into church, plug yourself under leadership, and take your time, stay prayed up, you'll be fine.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. And enjoy the process, man.
Literally.
Enjoy the process. God doesn't rush us.
100%.
And He teaches us through every stage. It might not be pretty.
Honestly, tell you this now, you're going to sing. The first time you sing, and it's going to be shaking. There's going to be bum notes. There's going to be all of that.
Bro.
But it's all a learning curve. You have to be willing to mess up. I've always said that. Like, even now, there's times where I've led people and everybody's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm so sorry. And I'm about to go and like receive rebuke, and I'll be like, yeah, cool. I know next time. Just chill out.
Yeah, just chill out.
But yeah.
Oh, we thank God. But yeah, bro, I think if you could just say a prayer for those that are listening, just a blessing and a word over them, that would be amazing.
No problem. Heavenly Father, we just thank and adore you for this time and this discussion. Lord, we thank you for the fact that you've even just opened up a door for someone who is hurt, who's going to hear these words and hear this conversation right now. Lord, I pray for those who even in this time have lost someone or in a place of loss, and they're finding it hard to even express themselves within you. Father Lord, I just ask that you bring them back to their first love. May you remind them of who you are. May you remind them of who they are in you. That, Father Lord, it is not separation, but now it is relationship with you. That, God, that it is open ears and open hearts that allows you, Almighty Father, to be a comforter to us. Lord, I pray for those who are in a moment where they've lost loved ones, Almighty Father. Let it be that the comforter that is the Holy Spirit comforts them in this very moment, in every aspect of the word, in Jesus' name. Lord, I say that even in this moment, may purpose be rebuilt once again in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let it be that your word that you've spoken over them, over their personal ministry, becomes louder in this time in the mighty name of Jesus. For you said in your word that there is a time for everything. So, Father, Lord, as you've given them time to grieve, as you've given them time to be angry or to be sad or to go through the stages of grief, Father Lord, I ask that in this very moment that you do not keep them in a negative space, Almighty Father, but Holy Spirit, you uplift them in times of hardship, that you, Lord, you surround them with a community and those around them who are able to lift them up. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking themselves in this worship space and this worship atmosphere. Lord, I ask that as they become, and you're training those up to be ministers, Father Lord, I say that in this very moment, let it be in spirit and in truth.
Slow.
Let there be an understanding and a basis that you are God, that none of them is on that altar when they step up, but it's all of you, that people will see eyes like fire, hair like wool, and feet like grass. Mighty Father, may they just see Jesus as they lead your people. And I say that every atmosphere that they are under, may they be able to navigate it skillfully and with excellence in the mighty name of Jesus. Father Lord, we pray that in this time, oh God, that you are taking your children on, and you're taking those who are rising up. Lord, we ask If I make one request, is that may we dwell in your presence. Yes, may your presence be the thing that we draw to. Because you said in your word that if there's one thing that we ask for, if there's one thing that we seek after, David said, is that I may dwell. So Father Lord, let it be that we are dwelling people in the mighty name of Jesus. Once you sit at your feet, just as Mary did at your feet, Almighty Father, Lord. But may we also remind ourselves that there was nothing wrong with what Martha did. But Father, Lord, may we know when to rest and when to work in the mighty name of Jesus. And when we find rest in you, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Baba. Amen. Thank you so much. Guys, and that's a wrap. That's another episode done. I hope to see you again soon on the next. Take care and God bless. Peace.